good morning to you all.
Trusting that this day has found us still in the service of the Lord. When we just raised our hands a while ago, how many could say, I am so wondrously safe from sin. I was sure so happy. It looked like 100% everywhere, every hand that I could notice was up in the air. I am so wondrously safe from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. I'm so happy for that today for you. And now, I believe if Sister here on the stretcher is just a little bit in the sun, if she won't be moved over, maybe what's bothering her or not. And I noticed her hand also up, so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. Oh, isn't that marvelous? When Jesus of Nazareth can come into our hearts and bless us and make us what we ought to be. Used to be a little song we used to sing years ago. He makes me what I ought to be. Amen. His grace can cleanse and set me free, something like that. How marvelous it is. Now, just before we start into teach the Sunday school, it's my lot this morning to come and teach Sunday school. And it made me feel good to come in the back door and see him putting the birthday offerings up there. That reminded me a long time ago when Tabernacle was first being in its cradle days. And just like old times, to hear the pastor blessing the people for the coming years of their life and giving thanks for what God had graciously done for them. Now, I think I owe to this tabernacle the reason why, and to be the first place that I make this announcement. Of anywhere yet, it's typed out and ready for mail, but I think that I would want to quote it being the New Year's, not that it's New Year's, but it's the new turn of time. I believe we're living in a very wonderful, glorious day of opportunity when people at this day living to see the shadows of the coming of the Son of God. I believe with all my heart that the world is going to burst now into the greatest revival that was ever known, or is going into the darkest chaos that's ever been known in history. And it's a great time of people to make a decision on what they're going to do. If there happens to be someone here today who hasn't made the decision right for Christ, I trust that it'll be this morning, somewhere in the service, that you'll, in your heart, say, yes, Lord, this is the day when I make my decision to serve you the rest of my life.
Amen.
It's a wonderful day. I'm sure that over our eyes has been just a veil, even believers, who we can't see just what's going on around us, you see. And many times, spiritual-led people are misunderstood, and they don't, to the peoples of the world, because it's such a strange and an odd life to live a full, surrendered life to the Lord Jesus. Now, a few weeks ago, I promised the Lord, about 10 years ago, when I left in 1946, when I left the tabernacle, that I would serve him with all my heart in these campaigns, knowing that it was going to be a great disturbance out there, because, and a lot of money included and everything like that. So I knew that usually in reading that man who gets the Lord bless them just a little bit, there's about three major things that usually brings the minister back to the rut. And I noticed in them, one of them is money, women, popularity. And those three things I noticed in the scriptures that were, if money was the prophet Balaam who sold out his gift to go on account of money when Balak offered so much money. Many of you are acquainted with the story. The Samson, it was Delilah, the woman who wooed him in her lap until he gave away the secrets of the Lord to her. And Saul, it was popularity. He was a prophet. The Bible said he was numbered with the prophets. And through popularity, he wanted to be big and above someone else. He fell by this. And this is the three major causes that I see in the Bible that caused man to fall. And I asked our Heavenly Father to please let me shun at all times those things, especially those three major things. And it kept a covering over them. I made a promise to God that I would never beg for money in the meetings. And I made a covenant with him. If he ever got to a place where he didn't supply my needs in the meeting, just for passing the collection plate, which I knew it would take tens of thousands of dollars to do in great massive meetings. And then I told him that I would leave and come home off of the field. This he miraculously did without making one stress at any time for money or press. Three or four managers lost their jobs because of making a little press for money, which I would not permit it. I don't believe in it. The people around the city here might think, well, the Lord gave us a little home up there that was taken up in one night. That someone thinks, well, he's a multi-millionaire. I wish you only knew the truth. See, you're no different from that. That I could have been, that's right. But I not even begging, but just people come say, I'll give you this, Brother Branham, but I refused it. I don't want it. I want nothing to do with it. It's filth. I want my inheritance to be above, up here. And that's knowing this, the day by day, the gray hairs is coming into my head, and not the little boy that I was that started preaching here 23 years ago. And I know one thing, that no matter how much you got of this, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and then lose his soul?
Amen.
So I've seen that cursed thing in the last few days, ministers and people calling at different family disasters and things. A lady called me the other night. She said, I won't tell you my name. My husband is one of well-known healing evangelists on the field, and said, I caught him right in the act of living in adultery with an 18-year-old girl. He confessed to me that he had been doing it for 2 years. Said, what shall I do, Brother Branham? And I said, lady, I don't know. I said, I'll pray for my brother, his soul. And such as that, we tried to shun him. And he miraculously met me and helped me until about the last couple of meetings. In my last meeting in California alone, and the last two meetings, I went $15,000 in debt. That they said, you have to beg. You have to tell the people they want to be begged. I said, that's not my promise to God. The man said, I underwrite it. I said, that isn't my promise to God. So to keep my promise, as I would to my fellow man, I did to God. And I didn't want to tell my wife and boy on the road home, come to California, and I'd stop in the evangelistic services. I said, I'll go back, rest up a few days and see what the Lord Jesus says, and nothing else. I'll come down and help Brother Neville pastor the tabernacle. I said, I'll do something, preach the gospel, and go to work like I used to do, patrol on the lines in public service company or something, and yeah, preach on, let him have Sundays, morning or Sunday night, and I'll take the other service, and him have Wednesday, and I'll have Tuesday or something like that. Or, I said, we'll go right ahead with the services, and I said, I'll get me a job and go to work. I did. I got my job, Brother Woods, back there moving houses. So I just went to work. Got my job. It hurt my wife and Billy. They said, Billy said, Dad, I'm sure you're doing wrong. I said, no, I'm doing right. I keep my promise. I told him, I said, my promise, no matter what it is, if a man is not as good as his word, I don't want to, you can trust him because he's not so good. And so that's one thing, and a person must always be, that's honest. He tell things so that you can go back and tell it a million times and it'll be the same thing, you see? Just be honest. No matter if it's bad or whether it's good, be honest. And if it's against you, say it anyhow, or keep still, don't say it at all. And, so then I feel that way, that God will bless an honest heart. And knowing the position that I stand in to defeat sickness and stuff for people in prayer to the Lord Jesus, according to His divine word and his calling, then I must be honest in heart to do that. Because the devil knows whether you are or not. He won't pay attention. I don't care how loud you holler, how much you make up, he won't pay attention to you. Right. But God will if you're honest. So I just said, I'll tell him when I get to Arizona after I left California. I didn't have the nerve. So after I said, well, in New Mexico, and on and on, until I told him to come right down here in Indiana. Well, they understood it pretty well. Billy didn't get it too well. He said, "Daddy, I think you're making a mistake." But I went home tired, weary, upset, crying, went to bed that night after wife got to sleep. I went in the room, knelt down, and said, "Dear Jesus, I don't know what I'm going to do. Here I am right back where it's going to come again. I guess I made a failure." About 2 hours, the man, he appeared to me. And he showed me his vision of such a panoramic view of people I'd never seen. I was talking to my wife in the vision. Now, you people that know me know I'm not a fanatic. I don't say these things unless they're the truth. That's right. And I seen it. And I seen Brother Argenbite stand there. And I went up to him. He said, "Brother Billy, said we've given out all the prayer cards and everything's ready now for the meeting. We got a way to take in and out." I said, "Thank you, Brother Argenbite." I walked over to some more brethren. And there's another brother preaching. I said, "Who is he?" They said, "They put him up." And I said, "Who is they?" And they just turned around and walked away. And the man, they just dismissed the audience, let them all go. And I said, "Oh, you shouldn't do that because there's no altar call." Oh, he said, another fellow spoke up and said, "We didn't take up the offering." I said, "When is the offering more important than souls before Christ?" See? And at that, the angel of the Lord taking me out then, and he take me to a real bright stream of water, the most beautiful blue water, and great fish were swimming around them. He said, "I will make you a fisher." And he said, "Now, cast your lure into the water, and when you do, pull it slow, first time. Next time, just give it a little jerk, not too hard, and the next time, set your hook for the catch." And I started throwing my line in the water. I pulled it, everybody began to rejoice, and saying, "That's wonderful, that's wonderful." I got all excited and jerked it hard on the next one. I pulled a fish and all out of the water. And what it was, is a little bitty fish, and it just about sized the lure. And I got my line all tangled up, and I straightened out my line, and the man which was talking behind me walked around in front of me, dressed in Palestinian clothes and a turban on his head. He had a white robe. He said, "Brother Branham, that's it." I said, "I know I didn't do right." I said, "I jerked it where I oughtn't to." He said, "Don't get your line tangled up in these kind of times." And I said, "Well, I'm running as straight as I can. I'll be very careful." And he said, "Now, the first time I spoke with you, you put your hands on the people and told them what was wrong with you. And the second pull, why, when you did, you would know the secrets of your heart. And I made you fear before the people. But you was always trying to explain it. You oughtn't to have done that. That you made a public show out of it." I said, "I'm very sorry." And he'd taken me from there, and I seen a great, huge tent. I never seen such a tent. It was packed and lined everywhere with people. And I walked out to the, looked like I was standing above the people looking down where I just made an altar call. And hundreds of people were weeping and rejoicing after they had accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And I looked, and then I heard a man get up and say, "Call the prayer line." And people began to line up over on this side, the left from where I was looking down towards the platform, and they lined all the way up and down the street for a prayer line. I noticed to my left, which would have been to my right if I was on the platform, a little wooden building. And I seen that light that they had a picture of, you know, it's always in the meeting. I seen that light leave me and go to that building. And go in that building, and a voice said to me, "I'll meet you in there. That'll be the third pull." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, it won't be a public show like the other." And I came too. And now at the beginning of this new year, back to my tabernacle where I started from. Back to the beginning where I started. I am very grateful to God for these things. And many of you know that just before leaving on the other crusade of about 8 or 10 years, I think around 10 years, well, 9 years it has been, it was, these things were told exactly how the auditorium services, you remember, exactly how that Brother Lawson would live exactly 3 years and then be taken away, that Brother Ward would build a tabernacle down in this position, this direction here, and all this exactly. You know what, you old timers. It happened just that way, and so will this. For thus saith the Lord. And you'll know. And now is the belief that the at the brink of the greatest meetings that I've ever held for the Lord Jesus is laying right in the future, beginning now. So, you know, I feel very happy this morning to come before you, and this is the first time the message has ever been given out. It's right here on this microphone to the Tabernacle people. And now it'll be in the papers, the religious papers, like Voice of Healing, Herald is coming, and all that in a few days. It's already typed and ready to go. Pray for me. And some glorious day when it's all over, we'll meet around this throne and we'll have time in our hands. And remember, it's not just me out there in the service. I have such a little part to do with it. It's you back here also, see. And I just believe the little old tabernacle is going to spread out, and it's just going to be marvelous what the Lord will do. Bless the Lord. Now, straight to the Word, before let's just give a little word of thanks to the Lord Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful today for you down here in this modern age, in the age of automobile, airplane, jets, rockets, and all kinds of science, telephone, television, and modern atomic weapons and so forth, you are still the supreme, almighty, omnipotent, omniscient God that created the heavens and earth and spanned out the sky. But we can't explain it. We can't explain it. Neither can we explain why the sky doesn't have an end, how the world can revolve around. And it's so perfect that 20 years before they can tell when the eclipse of the sun is coming, because your machinery works exact. We can't produce a piece of machinery to be that exact. Oh, but great Jehovah who holds this earth here in space is perfect. And we love you. And all your doings are just and right. And we submit ourselves to thee this morning, beginning of this new year, and ask that you fill us all with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and draw us close to thee, and may thy everlasting arms be around us and hold us, Lord, for the days are shaking and dark, but the morning star is leading the way. We shall follow, Lord. Where he leads me, I will follow. If it be some through the waters, some through the flood, some through deep trials, but all through the blood. Oh, God, lead us by thy everlasting hand until the victory is finally won and Jesus returns to the earth. Sin, sickness, and sorrow will be ended, and we'll live this glorious millennium with thee. We're longing for that great day. Come, Lord Jesus, to thy word today. Get into it. Circumcise the lips that speak them, the hearts that hear. May the seed fall into the hearts where the Holy Spirit will sow it and bring forth a hundredfold. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and help you as we settle down now for the teaching of the Word. Try not to keep you too long if I possibly can, get on a Sunday school lesson, because we have healing services to pray for the sick immediately after this. How our Lord Jesus has been so graciously to us. Just talking to Brother Neville, Brother Cox, I believe, was with us when we went to pray for a little mother up here at Charleston one time, dying in the bed, last hope, cancer ate her up. And God marvelously and miraculously healed that little woman. Amen. And her brother is a minister, little Junior Cash, and he's out preaching the gospel today and praying for the sick also. Amen. Just had a great revival up to Henryville, and Brother Neville was just telling me about how little Brother Junior was getting along. So glad for that. See, cast your bread upon the water, and it'll return to you someday. Yeah. Sow the right seed, you'll reap the right crop. You sow the wrong seed, you'll reap the wrong thing. Amen. You can't go east and west at the same time. You're either going one way or the other. You're either pointing towards God this morning with all you've got looking to Him, or you're pointing the other way. You think sometimes you're going right when you're going wrong, but you can't go to the right and to the left at the same time. Amen. You'll come out if you're headed left, you're going left, and you'll come out left. Amen. If you're headed right, you'll come out right. You can't keep from coming right.
Yeah.
It may seem like you're going wrong, but you're going right. What is a compass? And the compass is the Holy Spirit. The magnetic pole of the north holds that compass exactly north. Isn't it wonderful? That's electronics of the air. I was standing near the North Pole here a few years ago. And you hear them northern lights of sweeping and the yellow and green flashes in a dark midnight and make it as light as business room to walk by. And I thought, way down yonder in Central America, anywhere, that compass will point right straight to that magnetic pole.
Amen.
It'll guide you north every time. And how glorious that is that we got a magnetic system in glory.
Hallelujah.
And every man that has been made a compass to guide through this life or point towards Jesus Christ, just as certain as we're sitting in the church today. In His marvelous word now, the 19th chapter, the 10th chapter of Hebrews, and the 19th verse. I want you to listen close as we read. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. How wonderful. By a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, through His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and with full assurance of faith, having our conscience sprinkled from evil and our bodies washed with pure water. May the Lord Jesus just grant this answering to the Word. You like the Word? Faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. Now, just for the teaching service now, or perhaps the next 30 to 40 minutes, let's go right straight into the Word. Now, our faith cannot rest upon nothing. A Christian has to have his faith, has to have a solid resting place. You know that. And the only resting place that a Christian, a true born-again Christian, can rest his faith or hers is upon the unmovable Word of God. It isn't built upon the shifting sands of man's theology and doctrines and upon some church affiliation. But a true believer, his faith it rests solidly, unshifting as he approaches the Word of God. I was seeing somewhere, maybe here a few nights ago, I wanted to preach so bad, I preached to my wife in bed till 12 o'clock. Just telling her of how glorious Jesus was. A text come in my heart, it kept burning me so great, till I just couldn't rest with it. Now I just said, honey, I want to preach to you a little while. And she roused up. By grace, she listened. I said, the Christian faith is based totally up on rest.
Right.
A Christian is not tossed about. A Christian doesn't run from place to place. A Christian doesn't fuss and fume and worry about things. A Christian rests.
Amen.
Law finished for the believer at Calvary. Right. Oh, sickness may come and disappointments, but the Christian's at rest. Knowing this, that God's able to keep that which He has performed. Knowing that no matter what the thing is or how it looks, there's either sickness, carnal death, there's either starvation or anything that can separate us from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're at rest. Just let the old ship off any way she wants to. The anchor holds. I come by a harbor one time and seen that was flying in flames, great, coming down low. There's a big old ship there, the sails have been let out, and oh, what a storm on the sea. My, she was tossing. And I see that old ship sitting there rocking back and forth, and some ways it would go in, and some ways it would go under, and everything. I said, wonder why that is. The fellow said, he said, it's got a sea anchor on it. Therefore, said the ship can't sink. That it can go through the waves, but it can't sink because it's anchored.
Amen.
I said, oh, praise be to God. We got an anchor. Some ways we can go over, some we go under. But regardless, if the anchor holds, it isn't the ship doing the holding, it's the anchor doing the holding.
Amen.
It isn't what I am or what I will be or what I was. It's what He is now and what He did for us, me and you.
Amen.
It ain't what I can do, it's what He has done.
Amen.
My faith doesn't anchor in what the coming meetings will be. My faith doesn't rest in only any ability that I would have, or upon what church I should join, or what people I should associate with. My faith anchors and rests entirely upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Already been received. God justified Him by raising from the dead. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And God raised Him up from the dead for our justification. No wonder the poet said, living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away, rising He justified freely forever, some day's coming, oh glorious day.
Hey,
the Christian rests in that hope. Upon the stormy sea, there'll sure storms rise. All kinds of troubles, but we're anchored. That's all. It'll never sink. It can't sink. Now, I've noticed many Christians in my life to be up and down. I've wondered about that. And without preaching such a text as this out in the other churches to where I go, I thought best to deliver it to my people here at the tabernacle.
Amen.
Upon why are people so tossed about? You find them, people who seem to be very religious, seems to have such a deep desire. And daily they search and hunt and seek for God and never come to any settlement of any kind to where they could ever be settled or anchored in Christ. And this I have learned to be in experience that it is people of intellectuals. Now, speaking this, there is two different types of Christianity. Seems strange, but I would not say two different types. I say two different phases would be a better word to use. Not two types, two phases, the same Christianity, but two phases of it.
Right.
And one of them is an intellectual or a mental conception of what God has said in His Word and of Jesus Christ by the way of knowledge, and the other is an experimental experience that God has given the man in his heart.
Amen.
The one intellectually is a hunger. He's feasting on God, but his peace doesn't hold out. The other one seems to have victory all the time. There's nothing bothers them. They're just as solid and anchored as they can be. No trials, no storms bothers them at all. But they seem to have something about them that people who are Christians and trying to live for God admire that type of Christian. And I've often wondered, Lord, what is it that these people have that others crave so much for and yet seem to fail to get? And I know that's a great question in all of our hearts who have served Christ. And I've never seen a person yet that ever once come to Him except they afterwards. Their life never seemed right to them anymore if they ever left Christ. I was speaking yesterday to a little colored man who told me of a minister walking back and tearing up his preaching papers and throwing them into the trash box and said, I'm through with it, and the following Sunday he got a case of beer and set in the place and drank it. A couple of weeks after that, lay dying on the bed. By that time I'd explain that, how that works in the Bible, but that'd be off of the text. But that's another subject. How did Satan come in and tuck the person of God and take his child home? That's all what often happens. But now, to see this hungering for people and yet not able to reach it. And many of our teachers and schools have brought in much theology
of telling the people, well, it's because you didn't shout, because you didn't speak with tongues, or because you didn't have these kind of gifts, which I have nothing in part or to say against such things. But altogether, you find these people, when they do shout or speak with tongues or some other emotion, they still don't seem to be the person that they should be. Now, we have to know that to be true. And I've often wondered myself just what could be done in that kind of a state of mind for the person. So finding it so simple in the Word of God, we're trying to explain it in order now to do this, and to see the intellectual part of the mind and the soul which is in the heart. Now, you truly have two different mental faculties. You have one of them that's in your head by your brain, and the other is operated in your heart, which is called your soul, your spirit and your soul. Now, they are very much in disagreement many times. When the head seems to say something, the soul wonders at it if it's not right. But when it comes into the soul, the head seems to step back. There's been things that happened to you that you knew was going to be, yet you could not explain why, and there's no reason you couldn't explain it out, but yet you just accepted it, and it happened just that way. That's when something happens down here. In the great meetings of the vast fields of the campaign, I've noticed many people coming to me and saying, oh, I have all faith, Brother Branham. And intellectually, they are right here. But in their heart, it isn't there. If it was, they wouldn't be on the platform to be prayed for or help with faith if they had faith. Now, we'll have to go back and get a type to bring this picture out to you this morning as children. And I want you to notice closely. I believe in tithing, especially to people, as easier for them to understand, to illustrate. It's good to teach children, and we're all children.
Amen.
We're just adolescents in God. Who here would like to say, I'm an adult grown up in God? Oh, we are not. We're just little babies in God. That's right. Now, we want to try to get this to a place where we can see exactly what God is doing. So let's go back now to the Old Testament to get a view of this, and we'll take it by the children of Israel. When they were crossing the Red Sea and come over into the Promised Land, God, by sovereign grace, each night rained down manna out of heaven. And the people would go and eat, take this manna and make it into bread or cakes or something, and would eat this bread, which sustained their life in the journey. And we find out that many times, if they left the manna lay just a little too long on the ground, it would melt, run away. Just like frost or something on the ground, it didn't hold. Now, we see that same thing is happening in Christianity. Many people, before 9 o'clock, get hungry. You have a lot of campground, campground stars. Many people go to the service and rejoice and shout and praise the Lord while the Spirit of God is falling. All condemnation left their heart. And as soon as a day or two after the revival, they find themselves back in that old grind again. Yet they're eating manna. Many people come to Christ which has never been able in the Pentecostal world to make the Pentecostal people see this fundamental truth. It's so hard because each church has its doctrine, and they hear their pastor daily and the evangelist speak something. They say, oh, well, I got that. What difference does it make? But they fail to get this truth. Now, I've often spoken, do yet, and believe this great faith or truth that Jesus Christ said, He that heareth my word.
Amen.
And believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life.
Hallelujah.
And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Amen.
Is it?
Amen.
He that heareth my word. Oh, I wish I could sink it into every heart. Saint John 5:24. He that heareth my word and believeth.
Amen.
On him that sent me hath eternal, everlasting life, and shall never come into judgment, but already passed from death unto life. That's his word. What do you have to do? Believe. Hear. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word, and believing, and applying,
Amen.
And resting. You see it? The Word says so. Hear it. Your heart says so. Believe it. And your whole being rests in it. It's finished. Faith cometh by hearing. Jesus says the Word. He that heareth my words, believeth on him that sent me, hath eternal, never ending, always existing life. Isn't it marvelous? Every existing life and shall never perish, but hath already passed from death unto life. Has passed from separation unto everlasting presence. Amen. Already when he was an alien from God, you ceased from being an alien, now you are a child. From death unto life. From darkness unto day. From mortal to immortal. From corruption to incorruption. From weary unto joy. From death unto life. And resting fully upon thus there the Lord. Not upon feeling, mental emotion, theory, upon some unknown something that somebody has said to you that has no basis, upon someone saying, when you come join our church, it'll be finished. But upon the Word of God, the human soul rests out. God said so. That settles it. Makes it real. Now, let's go quickly to the second step. What makes these people go out on the ground and eat the banner? And then, before night comes, many of them got hungry. And people go to the meeting. There's just many people who goes and turns the radio on and hears a good sermon and rejoices. Many of them go to church and they hear a good sermon and they go home and rejoice. But what is that thing, man, that comes in and takes it all away from you, the first little difficult that rises? Really? If you're hearing the word and your soul is rejoicing in the word, it's the Holy Spirit that you're eating. See, I believe that you believe unto everlasting life. I believe that the new acceptance of the Lord Jesus gives you everlasting eternal life.
Amen.
When you believe it. Then I believe by one Spirit, then you're baptized into the body of believers. We're going to get to it in a few minutes of God willing. You believe unto life. He, Paul said, passing through the upper coast of Ephesus, finding certain disciples, he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you have believed? See, your faith anchors you in Christ. That's intellectual. You believe it, you accept it. You say that it's right. You recognize it to be the truth. And you're a Christian. And you've got everlasting life by believing it. You've entered to God. You're on the campground. Manners are falling and you're eating it. And did you notice the strange thing? There was a mixed multitude eating the same manna. People who are sinners, who does not accept the Lord Jesus, can still enjoy the seeing the moving of the miracle of God healing the sick, can rejoice in people doing right, can open their hearts and rejoice in a sermon that's preached under the anointing. And that's the same type of manna that the Christian is eating. You see it? Then, you always remember not doctrine here at the tabernacle. You have to follow God and please because He's perfected in it. Now we wonder why. Then we find out that this manna would vanish. It would come on the ground, then vanish. Then come again, and then vanish every day. Some of it, the 9 o'clock, they were gone. I've met people who stand in the church and just rejoice. And I see them go outside the church. And maybe Monday or Tuesday one, just living, behaving, becoming to a Christian. And the man or woman, whoever it may be, return again and shake your hand and say, I don't want to do those things. You feel sorry for them. You see people accept divine healing. And say, oh yes, I see it. It's in the Word. Oh, thank you, Lord. I believe it. And they'll go all right for a few days and the personal storm strikes. Back they go again. You've noticed it. And it's true. And the people can't help it. So what's it all about? What causes these things to happen? Now, let's notice. Now we notice that this manna, when it fell, God sending it down to provide life for the children of Israel in their journey. Then God told Moses and Aaron to go make a great golden pot and to fill it full of manna and to put it in the holy place or the holy of holy places by the ark. This manna was to be set by the ark. And there, it never failed. It never got old. It never lost its sweetness. It was always good inside there. Did you ever meet a person that's been in there and is tasted and living on this manna? You can meet him on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Cloudy day, bright day, gloomy day, things going right, wrong. He's always sweet, always full of love. Never does talk or do anything wrong. He's living under the glory of God. He never gets hungry. He never has to go to church to get built up. He's just always full of God. People go to church and they'll shake their hand in church and laugh and call you a brother outside of the church. They're full of little business deal that wouldn't be just exactly straight for personal gain. I don't say there's people who are here in the tabernacle, but I say there is. There's things that people would do and they get different. A least little thing will bring that old kipper back again. That's selfishness. Open up an ear to hear gossip or do something of that kind. That person has never entered into this pot in here. They're outside, they're truly eating the same kind of manna. They've been brought into the camp. That is where in the camp of the field is where the people got the manna. And they're in there. And that manna that they eat is the same man as this man each year. They both have the same pastor. They both read the same Bible. But one constantly stays true and humble, and the other's got his ups and downs. They're going like this, in and out. Both of them eat the same manna, but one has entered in and the other is still out. Both of them are believers, one in eternal life. But one is baptized with the Holy Spirit in the kingdom of God, and the other is outside eating the same manna. And the people have been telling us that you have to shout to get in here, you have to speak with tongues to get in here, you have to do all these things. But we find out that those things don't work. I see people shout, that doesn't, I don't hardly think, I have no way of judging, I shouldn't. I see people shouting that live any kind of a life. I see people dancing the spirit up and down the hall and come back out and live as horrible. I see both men and women do that. I've seen men and women dance in the spirit and speak with tongues and shout. They had a temper like I don't know what. There's something wrong. And yet they enjoy the blessings of God. They believe in it. They have faith in it. But it's only in this outer court that never has come to the inner court. They've never got from here down here. That's what's the matter with the churches today. Hope you see it. Oh, my! When I can see a preview of it, it makes me rejoice. See, there are anchor holes within the vein. The Bible said, he that overcometh, will I give a white stone and a new name. That no one knows but he himself. Don't make any difference what people say. You know yourself when you've been brought into the inner veil. No one could tell you any different. Not because you joined church, because you did this or that, but something just tells you. You got a stone.
Amen.
That's in the heart. Not a hard stone, a soft one. This stone makes your heart soft instead of hard. In Ezekiel, in the old times, when the laws were put into the tabernacle in the ark, the laws of God, Ezekiel spoke of another time. Now the people, there's two classes of people today, them same classes, that's trying to do something to save themselves. Each one says, I go to church every Sunday. That's very good. I want to be religious. That's very good. That's still under the law. But when the other, by going to church and being good, is not something that you do yourself, it's something in you doing it for you. The Holy Spirit in your heart. Now notice, in this inner court, these people that live inside here seem to have always fed up, always feeling good. Ezekiel said, I will write my laws anew and put it in their heart. Where the law used to be on stones in the ark, and the ark represents the heart, then I will put my new law in their hearts. In the ark. The heart is the abode of God.
Amen.
And in the Old Testament, God dwelled in his glory over the earth.
Right.
The heart is the ark.
Right.
God dwells not in the head, in the heart.
Amen.
God's not known by theology. God's not known by mental conception. God's known by old-fashioned, sanctified, born-again experience. That's in the human heart. Yet men and women live a good life and love God by mental conception. But the real hiding place is in the heart.
Yeah.
Him with Christ.
Right.
And when Christ, the Holy Spirit, comes into your heart, he is in you with your temperament, and he's living his own life to his own will through you.
Right.
How
what sounds awful, but it's right. Christ so yielded you are. And Christ speaks the kind of words he speaks. He thinks the kind of thoughts he would think through you. He does the kind of words he would do through you. You are yielded and resting. What a beautiful picture of a consecrated Christian. Yielded. Christ working through you. Paul said, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Not me that liveth anymore, but Christ that liveth in me. Christ living in the individual soul surrendered. Christ speaks through the lips and thinks through the mind, sees through the eye, acts through the temperament. Hallelujah! And the things of the world have passed away. How can it be anything but sweet and pleasant all the time? Christ has got control. Amen. Yes, yes. That's what it is. It's Christ in you. Christ in you. You say, well, you see, you say, I believe that's to be the truth, brother. That's right. It's in you, but it has to come here. If it is, then your whole makeup is Christ. Your attitude, your desire, your appetite, your everything is Christ. Yielded. Resting. Everything perfect. No matter how dull it looks or how black it looks, it looks the same. Christ is in you. He speaks to the sinner in the voice that he would speak to him. He speaks to the prostitute in the voice that he would speak to him in. He speaks to your mind the very thoughts, and he speaks to your heart the very way that he would if he was your owner. And you are no more your own, but your surrender. Into his holy place, Aaron went. Once a year, the congregation watched him. He was dressed right. He had to be anointed right. He had to walk right. Blessed be the Lord. Rest right. Walk right. Anointed right. He had bell and a pomegranate on his garment. And as he walked, they prayed, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. He taken before him a charger of blood. The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the atonement. And he was anointed with the rose of Sharon. And the anointing wore off his beard, clung to the hems of his skirt, and he was walking into the inner courts in the presence of God. And when he went behind there, the veil fell behind him. And he was shut up. He was hid from the outer world. And he speaks of God. That is a hiding place. A hiding place. We can walk in the presence of God and be hid from the things of this world. You don't hear it anymore. It's soundproof. Hallelujah. Soundproof. World's on the outside gasping and looking. But you're on the inside. In the presence of the eternal everlasting God. Eating from this manna. That'll last for spans of years, hundreds of years, that's never contaminated, neither did it get out. And a man that once walked into God, and the veil drops behind him, shutting off the kingdom of the world, is in the presence of God, eating the manna. No wonder 12 o'clock, 9 o'clock, or anything. He's living in the presence of the King.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Go into every day find for him. See what where he's at. He's found the secret place. He's went behind the veil. The doors are closed behind him. He don't see it to the world. Them doors are made soundproof by sheepskin and goatskin. And this is made soundproof by the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The hides the man. And Christ. There he becomes a new creature. He walks daily before him. in this manner. What a beautiful picture of the believer in the presence of God. All things are His then. All things was given to Christ. All that God was, He poured into Christ. All Christ was poured into the church. That day you know that I am your Father, Father me, and I am you. All the privilege that the believer has. And then only could accept it. He said, Brother Brennan, you've got a picture here under consideration. But how do you get to it? That's the next thing. How do we get into that, Brother Branham? Here's the way they come, and the pattern. Oh, I'm a Christian, Brother Branham. I've been saved. I've been baptized. I enjoy the blessings of God. You're in an hour, of course, but say, day, I am my ups and downs, my worries, my talks, my troubles. I wish I could live a victorious life. But you've got to get out of the court. You've got to come in. Now, what was the first thing? The court represented justification. Outside there was where the people come in. All Israel, no other but a circumcised Israelite could come into those courts to defile it. Do you remember when Paul brought Timothy to the temple and said he polluted this holy place by bringing a Gentile man? In the courts, they must be absolutely justified people, regenerated, with men and women who have accepted God, they got eternal life dwelling in them. They must do that to be in the courts. Then they come to the first altar. In the first altar is where they burnt the sacrifice, and where the Lord met them there in forgiveness of sins and cleansed them from all their unrighteousness. And the burning all of the brazen altar burnt the beast and the blood from the beast. That was the second court. And now as they left that second court, sanctification, they entered into this consecrated life. Entered into the presence of God. And while they were in there, there's where they had all these glorious things. There was very beautiful type that in there anything dead come in and lived again. Did you ever think of that? They took Aaron's rod and laid Aaron's rod in the presence of this holy place. And when they did, in one night passed.
Amen.
And yielded on. And one night time, think of it in the presence of God, this old dead rock laying there in the presence of God. That is blossom and yielded on in one night. What was it then? What kind of rock was it? It was an elm tree rock. That's where he had taken it from. The stick was off of an elm tree. And you are a stick sometimes. And you were taken off the branch of humanity, which was God's created Son in the beginning. You may be fallen, dead, alienated from God, but by that in creation you were created to be a Son of God.
Amen.
You may bounce around and be respected and honored out here in the court, but if you ever get into that glorious place and hit away with God, you yield what you're supposed to do. Take a dead sinner. Alienated from God without hope, without Christ, and put him in the presence of God in this great glorious tabernacle in there, he will yield forth fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. The dead rod budded it. For it budded, it had to have refreshing. It had to be refreshed. Then as it was refreshed, it had to have for the odor, a perfume. The blossom. Then the next thing it brought forth was fruit. And every Christian comes the same way when he comes into the presence of God. First, he has to be refreshed.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit has to take a hold of a man and renew him and make him another person. The Holy Ghost comes in. Just the refreshment. The Holy Ghost comes in the quiet of the hour. You know, you go out of the morning real early when the dew is on the ground. The dew falls just before daylight, usually. Sometime in the night, as the hustle and bustle of the world is gone to bed. After everything's asleep, did you ever go out early in the morning? And you go out early and see how everything's so fresh? Just real fresh early in the morning. Why? The old earth has been hid away for a while, and it's refreshed. And did you ever come in the presence of a man or a woman who had hid themselves away from the world? It's refreshing to talk to them. They refresh themselves. They begin to come to life. Did you ever go into the road garden early in the morning or up and down the highways here real early when the dew is on the ground and hold that odor of the honeysuckles and so forth all over the blossoms? There is just like a Christian who hid himself away with God in the stillness of the night, or somewhere and come forth the next day with a fresh, an odorous life, a pleasant place to be. Somebody you like to talk to, somebody that can encourage you, somebody you got confidence in, your neighbor over there, how you love to talk with her. See? That's the freshness, the odor, and the next thing, it yields fruit. And everywhere the Holy Spirit comes, it always plants the seed of God and yields fruit. Another great thing of entering into this place is a place where you can have confidence. You can believe. There's a woman laying here stretched on a stretcher this morning in a serious condition. Well, if God doesn't touch her, she'll die. She's aged, she's an old mother, gray hair, wearing glasses, very godly looking person. Went ahead and talked to her a few words a few moments ago when I come in. Now she's laying here. Perhaps her doctors don't already know how to do. But it can't do no more. If she's fallen in the ankle and ribs and so forth, and a complication of things, she's wondering what is wrong with her. The things that she's doing wrong also. But there she lay. And that kind of a thing. Well, being in that kind of a condition, and going like that, now what can we do for her? Is to bring her in the blessed presence of the all-sufficient, sufficient Holy God. That can take this paleness away from her. As a doctor, as all good as he can be, trying to tell her that maybe there's nothing more I can do. But we lift her into this place.
Amen.
Well, you're old in the days of that. That didn't mean one thing to Abraham when he came into the presence of God. And 100 years old, he believed God. And considered on his own body now dead, but he was in the presence of Jehovah.
We're telling us that.
Was that the lady only in the city dying of the cancer? Sure to die, nothing else left but to die. This is the only get her. Nobody has lost Aaron and lost him because he was invited in. Because it was told to him by Jehovah, he had the right to go in. When Jesus died at Calvary, he ripped the veil from top to bottom. To give not only high priest, but to every one that comes approaching God and is right into the Holy Spirit. He has the right. For any here dying has a right. Here sits Mrs. Weaver somewhere sitting over here. Dying with cancer a few years ago. Eat up, little bitty arms. She had a right. Hey. She had a right. She had a right to come in behind the veil.
Hey.
And when I had a hold of some reading from one side to the other, I baptized her water right here. She lives today because she had a right. She accepted it. Believes it. And I think some lady going in the back, I see Mr. Morgan. Where is Mrs. Morgan sitting there? Let's sit right there on this seat, holding her up, dying with cancer. No hope, stars. But faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word. And rather in a stale condition. Well, my husband told me he was sitting present now and he just played golf with the doctors. And he said the cancer wrapped around her intestines stood like a tree of roots. Well, the host is gone. But the Holy Ghost brought her into the presence to the refreshing and brought her behind the veil, dropped the curtain behind her, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what anybody says.
by his stripes, I will be worshipped. That you saw the hideous. The next morning he was still there to eat. The next day he was still there to eat.
That's good. Not look around, wait till it falls. The end of this revival was the everlasting eternal saying, Hawaiian. But you still eat in the same pot. One man on.
What was it? Getting her into the regression. Yes, the baby was up for another, so she won't listen to what the world says.
Well, listen to what God says.
Amen.
Learning by the blood. Learning by the anointing. Anointed. Walk right. Live right. Hold your head right. Until you enter this church.
I don't say when any man does this, that, and the other, how you're baptized, which way, this way, or what church you belong to, God, by sovereign grace, gives the Holy Ghost to them who desires to.
Amen.
That's why these people, they're all crumbled before God. God, by grace, give them the Holy Spirit, that's reason to live where they live. They're consecrated. They love the Lord. They believe in their living everywhere, every day in His presence. No matter what comes or goes, where the river rises or where the clouds are hanging low, no matter what it is, you're still living in the presence of the King. What is it? Oh, you wasn't here, that's just a make-believe. The veil's dropped, they don't even hear it.
Amen.
They're coming to life. Amen.
Moving birds. Come to the line of fear the owners say about them.
Amen.
Their conversations are seasoned with salt. Not talking about their neighbor or trying to fuss about something they've done this way or that way, but their conversation with the Christ in His glory. That's where we lay. Real precious. Really the orders. All the new lives of the blossom and bringing forth fruit every nation. Others saying, you know, I know she was healed. I know he was healed. Then why can I be healed? Certainly you can better. The only thing is get the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When are you going to win? Take God out of His word.
Yeah.
For by faith are you saved, and that's through grace and not by words. No mental emotions, no strength, no speaking with tongue, no sight, no nothing. By faith, walk into the presence of grace, Lord God. I console you on the basis of your word. And I believe that. You say, Brother Bram, would you believe a shout and speak and come? Yes, sir! But you're putting the cart before the horse!
Amen.
Come to Christ first. Come to Christ first. Let the Holy Spirit just take you over. Lord, even from every man. It's good today, it's good tomorrow, it's good all the time. Every day. I
want you to notice another thing about this. The peculiar of the life of believer walks in. When he's in Christ.
Peculiarity of it. Now the three courts. The justified man, I hear, he walked by daylight. Some day you have human days. You get
it? God bless you.
Some days you're gloomy. Some days you don't know what you want to serve, brother.
You're walking in the outer court, sure you ain't mad. Sure you are a believer. Sure you have eternal life. Sure you got to go to heaven.
Sure! Well, what kind of life are you living?
Every day, old guy heard, oh, I got my dinner for today. I told him about it. I cussed him out. I could never go out for him. Sure he will. Well, he will. You're a child. Well, what kind of life are you living? Why? Don't you have to live that kind of life? Up and down the struggle and poor day and night. Backsliding back to church, backsliding back to church. You're saying, the Father God's in this over here. This other fellow's just booming out. Crossing. See, what kind of life you're walking in? Or according to the weather. We give the light outside. The gloomy, the foggy, the halfway, and the bright day, and the gloomy, the foggy, and the cloud over the sun. That's the way into it. We generate it, justified man lives. That's why that's all right, he has to walk in. When you're just walking by that, you thought, I'll come to Christ, Brother Bram. I joined the church. I put my name on the book. I'm trying to live the best I can. Well, bless your heart, brother. I appreciate that. God appreciates prayer. If you believe me, to hear my words and believe on Him, send me has everlasting life. I know my brother. I love him. Oh, Brother Bram, oh, no, I'm the most miserable person. I have to fight every day. Well, yes, sir, it's where you're walking. That's all right. Then you say, well, what about all you for? When it comes into the court, now what's in there? There's seven golden candlesticks. What a holy thing.
and it's given life. The Hassanah's picture is given life. That's the man who quits his drinking, quits his smoking, quits lying, quits stealing, quits his neighbor right, good to his wife, or her good to her husband the same way, man and woman, the believer, who's come into a place where he's quit all of his meanness, which is through the blood of the sanctification. He's called to a new life. And he walks in there, he don't have to walk by that light up there, he's got a better light. He's walking by the light of seven golden candlesticks, which is burning olive oil. And the olive oil is representing the Holy Spirit, the fire of the baptism, which when baptized, you're even baptized by the water of the Holy Spirit. But you're not hid away yet, you're not behind the veil. Where he is, he's walking in these seven golden candlesticks. There's many lights, much light in them. But there's days when lights get dull. There's days when them lights smoke. And the light's not so good. There's times when them lights have to be relit again. And you have to borrow one from the neighbor to light one candle to the other one. It's still not a good light. We're thankful for it, but it's still not the right light. Brother, see that? It's still not the right light. He said, brother, I've spoken tongues, I've shouted, doing wonderful. Well, let me tell you something different. All right, he's walking in the light. It's an artificial light. It's not the light of the sun, the light of the moon, the stars. The man who is justified, of course, when light comes, he has a very dim light, just the stars, maybe a pale moon, or all the flying clouds, even an awful bit. But the man appears to all of you, takes his step under consecration and says, Lord, I'm going to live right by you. I'm the deacon in the church or something there. I'm going to live good to my neighbor. I'm going to try my best to do better, Lord. Well, he's living a better life. His life's seven brown. But they do smoke up. And they have to light one from the other. But the man who walks beyond that and goes in when the world is shut off, when the veil drops around him. Now it's under the locking of the wings of the cherubim, the great Shekinah glory. Come under there. It never got dim, it never went out. And the man who lives in the presence of God, under the veil, lives in the Shekinah glory. I don't care if the storms are raging or the tides of the moon don't shine or the stars don't shine or the candlestick goes out. That doesn't matter. He's living in the Shekinah glory or the power of the Holy Ghost. Is it bright night? Is it the time of mystic light? Time of small glowing light? And the believer at rest walks around inside the veil. The Shekinah glory was part of man, was what he eat daily. Never get up, eat from the man. Oh, he had no way in the world. Everything was taken care of. God was over him, listening to his prayers, answering his prayers. Not only that, but he's living right in the presence of the King. God in the Shekinah glory. Every time anything was started up like that, he couldn't get to him. He wouldn't listen to it, he couldn't. The whines of the world was on the outside. If you ever come into Christ, my friend, ever into a place where the world is dead, where your children are this, or where your mother is this, where your daddy said this, where your pastor said that, where your doctor said this or that, you don't even hear it. You live only in the Shekinah glory, walking and living in the presence of the King. Every day is sweet in your soul. All is well, there's nothing but harmony. Oh, what a praise. Oh, I think of that little stone right across the window. Hallelujah to his name. I'm living in the presence of the King. Living across the window, where the glories never fail. I'm living in the presence of the King. I'm walking in the light, the beautiful light. Some form of two drops of mercy are bright, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Let him hide himself and let him lose for himself and find it, Lord, in me. Let all self be crucified. Let my neighbors gossip, let the this, that, or the other be gone. I go to church for one thing, that's to stay in your presence. I am moved in there, Lord. I never desire to leave again. I trust your word, what you say. That's where I want to be. Drop the veils around me. Lord, I only see Jesus and live and walk and die in him. There you are. On Mount Transfiguration, when Jesus stood transfigured before the apostles, when they looked up, they seen just Jesus alone. They said they seen Jesus only standing there. Oh God, hide me in that place. Hide me over in that place. For the veils were dropping, I'll see nothing but Jesus himself. Oh, he's here, the fantastic to the world. I don't care whether you got a atomic bomb, or you got a jet plane, whether you should raise the benefit of units. It doesn't matter. Well, they know he is walking and living with Christ daily. He has died himself, and the veils are dropped down. And I am in he, and he in me. Let the strong wave my anchor hold within the veil. Can't tell you why. We have a lot of storms on the seas in this day, but I'm thankful for an anchor that holds steadfast within the vessel. When she's rocking, it looks like every move with energy to the bottom, yet my anchor is in the veil. My anchor is in the veil. My anchor is in Jesus. The storms of life are raging. I've anchored in Jesus. My fear of wind and rain. I've anchored in Jesus, for he has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. God, help us this morning to enter into that inner life. Quit saying, I hear we are tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Every little thing comes along. Don't you know the Bible says in the last days that how man will come and be like angels of light in the last days? How they would take revenge in the devil's ministers are angels of light? Don't you realize that? Angels were seeking new light, whence the devil talked to her and caused every graveyard to be out there, caused every insane institution, caused every kennel farm, caused every death, every sorrow, every starving baby, every dying mother. She was searching for something new. She was looking for something that she could define new. Oh, God, take me back to the Shekinah glory. Take me into the veil with you. I'm satisfied with Jesus. Lord, let me lose myself inside of you. Get into the inner veil where all these towns in the world, the Bible said in the last days there come a famine upon the earth. Not for bread and water alone, but for hearing the true word of God. And people will go from east to west and everywhere trying to find it. Yeah, but I want to share. But I want to share. When men are putting themselves up like gods and wanting to be glorified. When people say, oh, doctors, so-and-so, did so-and-so. Oh, Paul said, I have one fear, that is, except you would try to worship me instead of the thing that I'm preaching, I never come to you with the same words of man's wisdom, but in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that your hope can be built on that. Amen. Today is a horrible day. The people are scattered abroad. My spirit moved to go where there was a big tent erected, not letting God forgive. Where a man said he could cast out evil spirits. Which I have no doubt of that. But evil spirits are not cast out by cruel, indifferent living. The most powerful weapon there is in the world is love. I stood by a little lady the other night where her husband was 60 labor. Married another woman, very fine, known couple. And I looked at her. She said, I'm going to leave, Brother Ben. I said, don't do it, sister. Don't be so, oh, my husband, his ministry will be ruined. What can I do? I'm going to New York. I'm going to give me a job. I said, don't do it. Don't do it, sister. What can I do, Brother Ben? I said, go up to him. So I found the lady's picture and I broke it up and I done phone, so I said that. I see that. But I said, go to him and put your arms around me. Say, sweetheart, no matter what you've done, I still love you. That'll do it. The young fellow came to me not long ago. He was a Pentecostal. He's been to the end meeting. And he goes in, his wife is a staunch Lutheran. She said, oh, I guess you all went in and shouted last night. Well, I guess you're all speaking tongues and doing all this last night. He got on the floor and said, God, cast the devil out of her. I cast the devil out of her. Almost a divorce case. Man, a fine man. He comes to me and he said, Brother Bamber, you're going to have a divorce, I guess. Well, I just can't get that devil to move out of her. I said, brother, you're going to have the wrong way. And I said, when she starts like that, I said, all right, dear.
bless your heart, honey. You're real kind to her. You see how much you can do for her. I said, Brother Bram, well, how would I ever get the devil out? I said, you do as I say, and you keep praying in your heart. See? The guy takes care of the rest of it. He called me about your other week later. He said, my own revolution, I. He said, my wife is a different person. Yeah. I said, would you go outside with screaming and kicking and stomping and putting your arms around in love? Knowledge world! The soul of the world! Ever since my faith, I saw the stream, my pouring moon supply, redeeming well has been my singing and shouting till I die. The right. The man calling said, this woman's got a three devils. The one against death, and the other is against death, and it's called the other anything. And intelligent people sitting supporting that meeting. What a hundred and hundreds and hundreds. Said, one of them's green, the other's blue, and the other's pink. Oh, Lord God! Oh, God! It's not wrong! Don't let that happen, God! Those people that were striving so hard to try to get to the kingdom of God and they're flocked by the hundreds to listen to this Tommy Rock. You know why? They've never been inside the veil. That's one sure thing. If they were in there, they'd know different than that. My sheep know my voice. A stranger in my heart. Yes, sir. You might go all kinds of emotions and carry on every way and call in the name of religion. The heathens do the same thing. But give me a consecrated life that's dead and rose again in Christ Jesus, who lives in the Shekinah glory with the love of God around him. That's the person I believe is going to be there.
Amen.
What need beneath the veil? Under the blood of the Lord Jesus, take all your gifts that you have in the scripture. The devil can impersonate every one of them. But he can't impersonate love, because love is genuine. The devil can't love. That's one thing he can't do. And when you get to a place that you love one another and all the world is dead, and if you love God, I talked to a woman the other day, they were just bawling me out like everything. He's going to almost give me a whipping. I was sitting with another man. And she said, you start across this place and I'll call the sheriff. I said, we're Christians, we would just... She said, Christians, there ain't no such a thing. Real nasty. And she was bawling about terribly. I said, but lady, there is. I said, don't you believe in Jesus Christ? She said, well, I believe in him, but not in people. I said, you can't believe in him without believing in people. You can't do it. Oh, she was good at it, but give me a Christian. I walked out through the car, out of the car, where was I? I said, sister, you know, we want to pass over a little place here. I said, it'll be all right. I said, I wouldn't have done it for anything. I said, I'm working here. And she said, that's the way you think. Will you think you can run over us, old folks? I said, no, no, no. I said, that's all right. If you don't want us to do it, I don't know how we'll ever get the car out of here. We come in. Your husband told us we could. I don't care why you say you're not doing it. I said, well, we come in here. And I said, well, after 10 yards out. I said, well, you see that mud? Well, you'd never get 10 foot off of where we're at now, all that grass and rock there. I said, so that's up to you to see to it. But you call sure you're both gonna call the sheriff. I said, you have a perfect right. And I'm sorry that I didn't come to you to find your husband. I said, I'm sorry about it. And she always she was going raising and puffing and blowing and shaking her fist in my face and everything. I said, oh, little ragged pair of overalls on. I said, well, I'm very sorry. I disturbed you. I wouldn't have done it for nothing in the world. But I'm ashamed of myself. I said, your husband said it's all right. And I said, she said, you young people think you can run over us, old folks. I said, no doubt, but what's that took place on the neighborhood here many times? But sister, we're Christians. I said, I don't live here. I'm just working here to help some brother out. She said, you're working here. I said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm a minister of Redwood. She looked me up and down. She said, Redwood? I said, yeah. Now, what are you doing here? I said, trying to do a good deed to help somebody out. What's your name? I said, my name is Brown. She said, are you Brother Brown? I said, yes. He said, forgive me. And her lips started quivering. She started crying. She said, I'm a backslidden Baptist. I'm ashamed I acted the way I did. I said, God bless you, sister. Go back to church. Won't you? Serve the Lord Jesus. See? You jumped out there and started fussing at her and telling her you did have a right and so forth. And you're just, see what you'd have done? Just a few words of love. Go on down to the heart. Well, let's get people inside the veil. That's right. You know all those secrets? That's how I conquer wild animals. That's how I conquer diseases. By love. The love of God constrains us to do such a thing. Come in, Maria, won't you, today, while we bow our heads for a moment of prayer, for Sister about the piano. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. In our time moving on now, will you let every person that's in divine presence now, Father, come into the veil. There's young men and women, elderly men and women, youngest little children, little adolescents. We pray, Father, that you'll take every one of them into the veil with thee this morning and so hide them in thee, in Christ, until they'll be newborn. The hope of glory, the hope of God will be resting in them. And when the trials of the enemy comes up, it'll be so far away outside the veil they don't even hear it. They'll just only see Jesus living in the Shekinah glory, living in his presence, where this halo of light that's now in the tabernacle, let it dwell in every heart, Father. Let it come away from just an intellectual, or from looking at it on a picture, or even seeing it with the natural eye. May it come into their heart, Lord, and there may it abide. And they live in that presence of God, which yields every day a fruitful and blessed life for the Lord Jesus. Won't you grant it, Father? While we have our heads bound, our sister is recording this on the piano, playing it rather. Areas of fountain filled with blood. That's the way in. Come to the altar. The way into the Shekinah glory. John from Emmanuel's base, there's plunged beneath the flood of all their gentle things. With somebody in you just now, that in your heart, you've made a decision this morning for Christ. You said, God, I made up my mind. I'm not going to live this year up and down life no more. I'm coming to you right now. Right on the upon the basis of the shed blood upon your word. I'm coming right now and I'm accepting it. I'll raise my hand to you, Lord God. I'll do it from this day on. God bless you, sister. That's good. God bless you. Bless you. God bless you, brother. That's good. Now, God bless you, brother. I see you over here. God bless you, sister. I hear you, see you. God bless you, my brother. Today I'm coming. Lord, I'm tired of living by candlelight. I'm tired of living by starlight and moonlight and sunlight. I want the Shekinah glory, Lord, that don't go down when the darkness comes. God bless you, sister. From this day on, God bless you, little lady. God bless you, sister. God bless you, mother. God bless you, little boy. That's good. From this day henceforth, Lord God, everything I'm coming to, you won't cast me out. You can't cast me out because you promised you wouldn't. I come now, I accept it right now. I'm going to believe it. God bless you, sister. Shekinah glory I'm going to live in. When all threats and things and the trouble comes up and everything tries to move me, make me do this and think this bad and do this bad and say this, I'm just going to stay anchored in the veil and look to the Shekinah glory. And from then on, I'll just live with you. Is there another before we pray? God bless you, lady. You. God bless you. Yeah, just about a dozen or two hands went up there. All right. Now just say what I want you to do. Now we know there's a custom we have of all coming up around the altar and praying. That's good. That was first formed in the Methodist Church in about the 17th century. In the Bible, they never did it. In the Bible, what they had, as many as believed were saved. Now I want you to sit right in your seat where you are. I want you to bow your head with me. I want you to pray as I pray. And tell the Lord, say, Lord, now just drop off all the cares of the world. And who's sitting by you? This may be the last time you'll have an opportunity to come into the kingdom of God. And I pray that God will open the doors of mercy to you today. And this will be the time. Now shall we pray while we have our heads bowed. Our Heavenly Father, I pray to thee as the seed went out, Lord, across the platform, the Holy Spirit dropped it into some 50 or 60 hearts or more here that raised their hands and said, by this we are now coming to thee. Grant, Father, that the doors of their heart may be swung wide open. Many of them, Father, have already got eternal life. They'll live forever. They have to because you said so. That's the reason we base our thoughts so positive. They have to. You said so. Now, Father, we pray that in Jesus' name that you'll bring them into a closer fellowship. They've been tossed about, Satan beating them. They can hear the groans and whines of the devil, always tempting them to do things wrong and to say things wrong and to listen to everything. Father, we pray that the veil will drop between them and the world today, that they'll be hid away in Christ, never no more to roam, stay right there in His glory, every day reading the Bible, praising Him. We tremble quite. Spirit-filled Christians, grant it, Lord. We command them to be now, as we commit them also, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for His glory. Amen.
There He is,
a fountain of
filled on ground, Emmanuel, and Jesus Christ.
Want every heart to be centered down. How many feel that today, from today on, by the grace of God, if you haven't yet, you believe from this day on, you're going to walk in the presence of God, walk right, with the right anointing. What would be the right anointing? According to the Word. Love, peace, joy. That's the anointing. Walk like that until God just raises up the curtain, takes me in, and shuts all the world around. Hey. Will you do it? Raise your hand. By God's grace, you do it. Thank you, and God bless you. Do that, friend. I tell you, it'll be every emotion, or every gift, or anything else that you could teach, if you'll just find Christ that way in your heart. That's what's helped me. I laid my daddy on my arm, and his head dropped down and looked at me. Which it ain't gone. I see my brother yonder struggling, the veins cutting his neck, broken, the blood flying from his mouth. And I looked at my wife and she said, I'll meet you just across the border, you know, Billy. I laid my hand on my baby and the next day, these little legs jerking. I said, bless your little heart, Sharon, Daddy, I'll meet you on the other side. My anchor held. Okay. Yeah, it's not based upon emotion, not nothing I felt, you know. It's what God said about it. I believe it. Just all these 23 years of my ministry now, it holds us as tight today, if not tighter. It gradually winds against the cross because it's pulling me closer to it all the time. God grant each one of you have the experience of living a close, consecrated life. See, listen closely now before I close on that. It isn't a blessing that you receive and shout and glorify God. Those things are good. They're eating manna. That isn't it. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. It isn't whether you raised up and spoke the tongues or whether you shouted on up and down the village. That isn't it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that hid away life in Christ. For all the time, day and night, you just live in Him. That's what I'm talking about. Now, each year, I wish I was a healer this morning. If I was, I'd heal sick people. I can't heal sick people. I'm just a man. But the healer himself is here, the Lord Jesus. Now, if I, the Bible said the effectual servant there of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual servant there of a righteous man availeth much. See, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. And it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. Then he went and prayed earnestly again, and the heavens gave rain. Prayer changes things. I can't change it. You can't change it. It's prayer that changes it. God told a man one time he was going to die, that his house in order, sent a prophet up to tell him. And the man turned his face to the wall and began to cry and asked God for 15 years longer to live. And God changed the course. Give him 15 years left. What is it?
Hey,
prayer. Now we're changing the subject just for a few minutes. I don't get to be with you. I'm hoping to be here next Sunday again, Lord. But I want to, this morning, when I come down, my said, are you going? Your horse and everything? I said, I promise I'm going anyhow. Look, I want to tell you something. I know that prayer This is to be my first time praying since something was ministered to me. If you understand that God knows it's true, that I ever pray for sick people. It won't be in the public as it used to be. Well, of course, in these church meetings it will be like this, but I mean in another category that we go in now. But this I do know. I have confidence. I've watched all along. Now, if I would like to trade places today with some man who preached the gospel, if it would be the will of God for me to be a preacher. I'm not much of a preacher because I'm not educated and I don't know too much of the word or anything. So I can't preach. But my work is to pray for sick people. And I noticed in the services, in different places, just what prayer does, what an effect it has. I'm going to take Christian Life, the magazine Christian Life. Did you notice that founding article in there? Well, that medical doctor in Chicago, or I believe it's Wheaton, Illinois. They asked him, they said, do you believe in divine healing? Is there such a thing? He said, now you've asked me a question. Divine healing, what do you mean, miracles or healing? He said, healing, certainly. You pray for the sick and said the sick gets well. Then there's a miracle and it vanishes right before you. Said either of those. Said, I certainly believe in that. But so now these bloodless cults, such as Unitarians and science and things like that, said, I don't go for that. But the blood of Jesus Christ will heal anybody. And that was a medical doctor. And they know that. And then God set some in the church to pray for the sick. God set some in the church to teach. Some to do different things. Is that right? He does that. And through this, he gives different gifts sometimes to people. That don't have nothing to do with it. Not a thing with your soul salvation. But in this knowing that he called me to pray for the sick people, I just want to say, for your confidence, and God knows in my heart, I mean not personally, but I want to just show you something. Look around across the country, what's happening. Just draw it in a mental picture in your mind, if you know. Just look what happened up here the other day. You all heard about that old possum down in the jungle down there, come out there, chewed up with a dog or something, all broke up. And why would Jehovah God, there's something that don't even have a soul, an ignorant possum, and bring that possum and lay it right at my door? And me so dumb that I didn't know it. He laid there 24 hours. I sat in my room and he said, like a lady, she's laid 24 hours for you to pray for, waiting for her turn. And you haven't done it yet. Little Rebecca there was in the river's back. I woke up and I said, Heavenly Father, you forgive me. I didn't know that. Now I pray you heal this possum. That's all I said. The old possum raised up and looked at me, gathered up her babies, and just to say thank you, sir, without even a wink. Walked on out the gate and down the road. See? Ignorant possum. God led her there, don't you believe it? How did you leave Bosnia? Oh, just look across the country at the hundreds. Good dreams and visions and that's all this. Then that makes me know this. And he met me there when he stood by my side. And said, you were born in this world to pray for sick people. Said your ministry starting over. It's the world around. And it has. But the healing campaign millions around the world is healing now. I couldn't take it, certainly not. But I started by God's grace. It's flowed around the world, this great revival. I studied the other night, well, it's finished now, the other night, a few months ago, with a bunch of ministers gathered together in healing campaigns. Each one was to tell a personal experience. They didn't even realize around. I studied back at this great stadium, the coat pulled up like this. A hair piece on my head, a little pair of dark glasses on. Just say that. Listen, when I walked up the platform, said, well, my ministry is about gone. I don't know what to do. They said, $100. Come on, Brother Brandon. That started me. Well, I walked up to the Lord. His brother testified, so was it me, that I pastored a little church and I went on with my wife. I started. I sat there crying. Just got up and walked out of the building. I couldn't stand it anymore. He said, just, I thought, God, is this exactly what you said to take me? Exactly. Well, here I am this morning, friend. I'm very poor servant of the Lord. I fail him in so many ways, but I'm ashamed of myself. I feel unworthy to even minister to his dear sick children. But I don't look to my worthiness because I have none. I look to what His grace is. Mm-hmm. It's what He is to me and what I am to Him. I am His child. He's my Lord. If my hands are not clean, but He is all right, I don't minister with mine. I only try to yield myself to Him that He can minister through me. I'm very glad that I've lived in this veil. Well, the things of the world. When he said, you can't do it. Why, you're crazy. Something went wrong with Preacher Branham up there. Look at him. Why, he's gone crazy. Well, I had that ministerial meeting over at the Jewish hospital, and that group of men sat there, and how they tried to tell me, and I said, well, you're losing your mind. Well, you can't do that. You pray for kings. I said, that's what he said. It makes a difference what he said. He did it anyhow. God did it. He never looked at my ignorance. My ignorance could have never produced it. But it wasn't my ignorance. It was His grace. And by Him, that grace alone, I trust this morning as I go pray for this dying woman and for others. Come on, you're God's servant too. The prayer, the affectionate, fervent prayer. The congregation praying. Here lays a woman laying on the stretcher here this morning. There's others sitting here in a dying condition. There's a quality, a gift, but certainly that's not even questioned to the world anymore after 10 years. You could come to this platform and you couldn't hide your life if you had to in the presence of God. He'd tell you exactly what you love and what you're doing. I say, you know that, to be the truth. But that isn't a healing. That's a healing. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. It's prayer that saves the sick. Certainly. Now what we want to do is pray for the sick. Now I want to see you well. I think, what if this was my mother laying here? What if somebody's mother, perhaps? What if it's my wife sitting back there? Somebody else is sick. I'll be sincere. I'll pray. There's a woman walking there now. Mrs. Look, going on a stretcher like this woman is going, dying with a cancer. Like I heard at Jeffersonville when the woman was down there at the high school, dying with a cancer, and there she has never been bothered since. Went home, got well. Isn't that marvelous? Now, I want you to pray for this, the great physician, now is here, the sympathizing Jesus. I want everybody that's going to stay for the meeting now to quiet down just a minute. Let's pray. Now, I'll call the prayer line just in a moment. First, I think I'll go down and pray for this woman on the cot so he has room. I want everybody to keep their heads bowed. I want everybody to pray sincerely. Now, sister on the cot, you're the mother. I'm talking to you now. Want you to have faith now, believe. Want you to believe with all your heart. Let's all be in prayer reverently, if you will. And I'll come back to the platform after we pray for the woman, and we'll let the people, as they take her out, walk the center to one side, but I want to pray for her first so she'll be out of the way. Can we pray our prayer now? Our Heavenly Father, yes, there is a great physician. There's a balm in Gilead. And laying here on the cot this morning, sitting here in the seat, are your people who are sitting here suffering this dark, cloudy world that we're living in. Oh, eternal God, blessed of the Father, we pray that your mercy will extend to these people today. And every one of them will be healed. Let them enter in now to the manna. You've got the door open this morning for whosoever will, let him come. The middle wall of petition has been torn down where Jew, Gentile, Greek, bond, and free can enter in at the same gate, the door to the sheepfold. Thou art the door, and we come through Jesus, God, to receive these blessings. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, I come to pray for the sick. Will you heal him today, Lord? We thank you for our dear brother Neville, for his gallant work here pastoring the church, for all that he's done, how he stood by the post of duty as a real true servant. God bless him and his wife, his little children. Lord, may these little boys raise up to be men like Dad, grandfather. Oh, God, be near us now. As I go to minister to the sick with all my heart, I pray you'd be with me, Father, and give me faith. And take all doubt out of my mind, that when every person shall come, may my mind not function to the unbelief, but may my heart push forth faith. Grant it, Lord.
that when the faith in my heart moves reasonings back, cast down reasonings, and have faith, may everyone be healed. Thank you. Now, with our heads bowed, I'll go pray for sister. You all feel free.
But God has touched her body and made her completely whole. Here she is, walking around glorifying God. You who want to be prayed for, come to the side now while we pray.
I asked him when that lady was laying there, she told me how she fell in her ankle and her ribs and all about like that. I said, God, if you will confirm this to me this morning, I'll perform the same thing that you told me to do when it was here. And you let that woman rise up and walk across the building. And immediately after she was prayed for, she rose, they took the stretcher out, and here's the woman walking around. The Lord Jesus is here, my dear brother and sister. I can't heal you. But you're fixing to see, I believe, one of the greatest revivals that we've ever had. That's right, in the nation. I just know that something is in the making just now. Now, as you pass by, right now, to be prayed for, let everyone in the building be in prayer as their sister prays. And Brother Neville and I will be ministering and laying hands on the sick as they pass by their side, going to their seat. Some people get the wrong impression of what the anointing is. Did you ever think of that? When was the greatest anointing ever given to anyone, and what did they do when they had the anointing? The greatest anointing that was ever given to anyone was Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit by measure, He had it without measure. And one day He entered into the temple and picked up the scroll and read, said, "The Spirit of God is upon me. For He has anointed me to preach the acceptable year, to bind up the broken hearts, to heal the sick, give sight to the blind." And now we would think if such anointing was only been prophesied 800 years before that it would come, and here He was with that type of anointing, the full blessing and anointing of the Lord upon Him, we would want to run all over the building, scream and holler. But the Bible said He laid down the scroll and sat down, and precious words proceeded from His mouth. That's what He done under the anointing. Anointing is not emotion. Anointing is supreme power. In control. Knowing exactly what and how. That's what here. Now, you might not be able to understand it as you walk here. You might not be able to get it. But I challenge your faith to this. You come and believe what I told you and watch what happens.
Amen.
You just disbelieve what's been told and see what happens. The anointing of the Lord is in the temple, the tabernacle, this morning. Amen. Let us pray as we go. Our Heavenly Father, sister, coming to the altar, felt led to sing that song just then. You were speaking to her. She kneels, she's praying, Hannah in the temple. Give her the desire of her heart, dear God. We love you, Father, that you'll pardon. Give her those things that she asked for. As she kneels, broken up, worthy, knowing there is no secret what you can do. For your God and all powers in heaven and earth is given into your hands. So may you brush away her tears just now. Comfort her with thy nail-scarred hand and say, "Daughter, thy faith saves thee." May she go in peace and be made whatever she desires today. Grant it, Father, for Jesus' sake we ask it. You love the Lord? Isn't He wonderful? Had a glorious time here this morning in this fellowship. Have you just felt His presence? Just something around saying, "Well, I'm with you, don't fear. The little boat can't rock or do no harm." How you feeling, Mother? Good, that's fine. The lady that was on the stretcher says she's feeling good now. Aren't we thankful for that? Our Lord Jesus, she's going to come back and be with us and set the church and rejoice and praise God. Is that right? Now, I believe next Sunday we're going to have all kinds of people want to testify about what happened today. Don't you believe that? Now, what do? Stay in the glory. Walk in the light. Walk step by step with Him, ever holding to His everlasting hand. Eternal blessings of God resting with you. knowing this assurance that God will not promise anything that he cannot do. Abraham, when he was old, he didn't care about how old he was. He knew that God was able to do what he said he would do. Isn't that wonderful? Well, now, God doesn't die. God is from everlasting to everlasting. Did you ever think that when your spirit leaves you, if you're in a gas chamber, if you're at the bottom of a well, bottom of the sea, wherever it may be, when your spirit leaves you, water, fire, nothing can hold it? It moves right to the building. And it's like a vapor. It hangs there. It's alive. It can't die. It's got eternal life. It can't perish. Then when you die and your loved ones are weeping, they think you're dead, but you're not. You're still living up here. Your body is faded away. But it's put down in the ground. All the atoms and things that you once was has broke up and gone back into the cosmic light and petroleum and whatever it was, gone back into the earth. And someday the great king of these spirits will come. Jesus, coming from glory in his body. Amen. And he'll turn loose the power of God and every person that's in him. Their bodies and atoms will start going together. The cosmic light will start making up. And in a moment's time, every person that's in Christ will be changed to make a young man and woman again. Standing over there.
Amen.
Thank God. Never to get old, never to be sick, never to have a heartache or a weary. What do we got to worry about? We just walk in the light of God, don't we? Isn't he wonderful? Oh, my. Let's see if we can sing this good old song. Can you get us that word, My Faithful Sepulchre? How many of us? We used to sing it all the time, My Faithful Sepulchre. Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior Divine. Now here you are, pray to take all my guilt away. Let me from this day be holy.